Turn your Bibles a little to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll just bounce off of this and be reminded of what the Scripture says and then go on and take a look at this fruit of the Spirit of peace. the works of the flesh are manifest, of course. Verse number 22, the Scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and that's capital S, that's the Spirit of God living within, what the Spirit of God's going to generate within us and what we need to avail ourselves to and learn about and add to our faith. You'll find many of these that in 2 Peter chapter 1, there's things we need to add to our faith. And you'll find many of these fruit of the Spirit are things that we are called upon to add. Okay, and so that's an interesting study. I think we've taken a look at that since I've been here, and I encourage you to do that. And pardon me, make the cross reference between those things that we're to add to our faith and then the fruit of the Spirit that's to be manifested in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Okay, so if you're Christ, that's just the standard operating procedure, is to crucify the flesh with the affections and desires. Okay, those lusts don't necessarily mean that they are illicit or sexual, but just the desire for things that are inordinate or wrong or that would lead us to sin, obsessiveness. The things that the flesh wants, affections and lusts, crucify the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, speaking about salvation, let's also walk in it. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Let's not be looking for the pat on the back from one another, but let us desire to please the Lord, provoking one another, envying one another. We need to provoke one another to love and good works. Amen? And so we need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, add to our faith, and be representatives, good representatives of the Lord. We took a look last time that we were in this, and we finished up about joy, and we began to take a look at this fruit of the Spirit of peace. And the definition, it's one of those definitions that yet again uses the same word. It kind of frustrates me at times. Some things are hard to define like that. I like the definition here of the Greek word for peace is quietness and rest. There is the definition here says out of Strong's by implication prosperity. Prosperity. There is a sense that prosperity does bring peace. In the world with physical things, prosperity can bring a false peace. But when we're talking about the spiritual, I mean, who's more prosperous than we that have been saved? Amen? And has that not brought peace? Yeah, peace with God. But what can you do better than peace with God? I mean, that's great, isn't it? That's the greatest, if you will. But quietness and rest, to be at rest, to be settled, to know that with the case with us and all the things of the world and this life, the life to come, all the things that may come upon us, the things that we can't control physically, the things that we can't, as one brother said here recently, you know, we can't fight the devil. We're to resist the devil. Well, we can't fight him. We can't go on and take him on and do battle with Satan. I mean, he's way stronger than we are. But we can stand and we can resist him. And the Lord says he will flee from us. But all those things that are like that, so little that we can do, right? But to have peace and rest in the Lord, that through Christ we can do all things that the Lord wants us to do. He'll strengthen us, right? And that ultimately the Lord is in control of all things. And so we can rest in that. We can have peace in that. Turn to John chapter 14. Let's review this and then we'll move on from here. John chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, verse 21. Pick it up here in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Have them, keep them. loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest or show myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Because see, their expectation is that he's going to rise up as a public deliverer and beat up the Romans, kick them out, and reestablish Israel as a nation. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Okay, that's a statement. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. There'll be fellowship there, won't there? He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. That's just the way that it is. Love me, keep his words. Don't love him, we won't keep his words. Keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And the Lord was not a free agent, but he came to do that which is of the Father, and said those things that the Father gave him to speak. These things, verse 25, have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He said, I'm telling you this now, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, to the church, and bring all things to your remembrance. He'll remind you of things whatsoever I have said unto you. And so the Lord's taught and taught and taught. Part of what the Comforter is going to do is teach, and part of what the Comforter is going to do is remind. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Is the Lord Jesus Christ ever unsettled? Does Jesus ever get nervous? Well, I don't know how this is going to... Now, as a man, we saw his humanity in the garden, and we saw him pray, and it says in Hebrews that he wept to him that was able to deliver him. I mean, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is manifested, but he never once turned away from what he came to do, but he did come as a man. He came as God, he came as man. And that was manifested in that. But he said, he always in everything, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was the example that the Lord. And so in any other thing, when the Lord was there at Gethsemane and those that came to get him, and he said, who are you looking for? And it said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. And what they do, they fell back, right? Was he nervous or upset? When they had him there at the father-in-law of the high priest's house, was he troubled or disturbed? Was he, when he was there at Caiaphas's house, the high priest's place, or the palace, and then on to the Sanhedrin, and then on before Pilate? Remember the answers that he gave Pilate? He said, you can have no power over me unless it was given to you. Saying that, was he at peace? Yeah, he was at peace. Why? He's in control. Right? He's in control. There's nothing here about this. God has never died, and the God-man had never died. And so that was something new, something different, something new that Jesus was facing. He did accomplish that. He did die. But he knew who he is and who he was, and he was at peace, wasn't he? Here, this is hours before he's going to be taken, when he's speaking here to the disciples. What would I be doing? When in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. I mean, you're going to die by this time tomorrow. Are you and I and ourselves going to keep our cool? By this time tomorrow, you're dead. Here, Jesus, he's dealing with his disciples. He's giving them what they need rather than preparing himself, right? Has he not got peace? Yeah, he's got. He knows he's as a man is resting in the Father. As a Son of God, he's got all power, and he's on a mission to complete. And he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." How is it that we can be given and receive peace from the Lord? How do you put your hands on that? Huh? How do you make that tangible? Well, how do you make faith tangible? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? That Hebrews 10. Faith is what you can put your hands on. It's the substance. But you really can't put your hands on faith, can you? Well, peace is that way. It's not an object. It's not a thing. We don't get a jar of it or a bottle of it to drink. It's in the Lord, isn't it? We have peace because we rest in Him. We hope in Him. We trust Him. We have faith in Him. We have a settledness in Him. So what about this, this, and this, Brother Jim? I don't know, but the Lord will take care of it. Well, what about this, this, and this? Well, I don't know, but the Lord will take care of it. That's having rest and peace. Now, you catch me with, I'll say, the wrong thing that might get under my skin or might unsettle me or whatever. I may take and turn to myself for the answer, and then what will happen to my peace? It'll be my kind of peace. He's going to speak of that there. It'll be my kind of peace, and what kind of peace is it? It's not peace. It's a false peace. Because what I can do can fail. Anything that I can build can fail. Anything that I can pursue can fail. Anything that I can buy can fail. My money may fail, right? Because it's none of it's sure. But the Lord is always sure, isn't He? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world might be an Indian giver. The world will lie and say, here's a way of peace. Aren't people looking to be settled? If I could just have this and I could just rest. And Brother Chad, I think, mentions about a man that he knew of, and before the Lord saved him, he says, I don't want much. All I want is the property that's beside mine. Because peace, and looking for peace, looking for happiness, contentment, settledness with the things of this world, it'll never come to an end because there'll always be a need for more. That's kind of what the world has. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart, it's in the same verse, speaking of peace, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. His peace. Jesus will take care of it. He will deliver. He will help. He will heal. He will strengthen. He will carry. He'll take care of it. Peace. Peace. What's he go on to say? Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, listen to what he says here. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. He said, I'm going to the Father, and if you love me, you'd be happy that I'm going to the Father. But instead, they're sad. They don't want you to go away. Don't go away. But this is part of the fulfilling of what he came to do. Part of that about the Comforter testifying reproving the world of righteousness because he goes to his Father. He's going to complete. See, they would be happy. We should be happy that the Lord was going to complete or did complete what he did from our standpoint, but and that he was going to do so in their day. He said, if you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go into the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass. I'm telling you these things in advance, that you might have peace, you might have comfort, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise. Let's go. Let's go. Let us go hence. So peace from the Lord. We need His peace, and we see that here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's take a look over here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's kind of some example of doing some evaluation of our peace. You know, and talk's always cheap. It is. I mean, I can say a thing. I can say how faithful I'm going to be and what I promise to do for the Lord and all that, and just fall flat on my face. You know, talk's cheap. Now, we should have desire, and the biggest thing. And the greatest thing that I find myself saying is, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me to go next. Help me with what to do next. Lord, help me in this. Help me to understand. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me knowledge. Give me ability in this. Lord, help me as I go forward and give me understanding, clear understanding of your leadership in it. Here's some example about testing our peace. And again, to read the examples and the scripture and then to say and to evaluate ourselves, we say, yeah, I've got peace. Well, when it would come to pass, then that would be a further test. You know what I'm saying? Reading about it is one thing, and we do need to, and when we can, and we can benefit from it. But then to really experience it and find out what we're made out of, like Peter, Satan desired to sift him like wheat. Satan's point was, I think, in his arguing or his speaking to the Lord, or the Lord knew about what Satan wanted to do with Peter, didn't he? That's the reason he told Peter, and that's the reason he prayed for Peter. Because Satan was saying, all Peter is a windbag. Peter's just talk, and I'll prove it to you. Kind of like the same thing when the Lord brought Job before Satan. And that's because that was the accusation, I believe, that Satan was making in regards to Peter. The Lord prayed for him. He did get thrashed, and then he was converted, wasn't he? Did that brother strengthen the brethren after that? He did, didn't he? He was used greatly of the Lord in that. He was settled, so much so that the Lord told him how he was going to die. And he had a little quarrel with it there at the Sea of Tiberias or Galilee there when the Lord told him about it. But the Lord says, don't worry about John. What I've told you to do, follow me. And Peter did after that, didn't he? He did. He was helped by the Lord. Let's take a look here in 2 Peter chapter 3. With this thought of peace in mind, and let's take a look down through here and see what we can find. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter was a good reminderer. He wanted to remind the saints of some things. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Remember the word of God and of the commandment of us, the apostles. Remember the word that was spoken through us of our Lord, of the Lord and Savior. Remember the word of God. We need the word of God in us. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. There's going to be those that are going to walk after their own desire. What's it say? Walking after their own lusts. And they're going to scoff at what we have testified and preached and prophesied that'll come to pass. The Apostle John, he was used of the Lord on the Isle of Patmos to write the book of Revelation, wasn't he? And Peter's saying there's going to be some that are going to come and they're going to scoff at those things. They're going to scoff at the things that are in the Old Testament scriptures that after more is revealed and the Lord uses the apostles, it uses the Apostle Paul as he references here in this chapter in verse number 15. There's going to be those that are going to scoff against those things that they're going to write and tell about what's going to come to pass. He says it's going to be. And saying, verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Okay, Jesus hasn't come. Are you unsettled? How's your peace doing? Because he hasn't come, does it mean he's not coming? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed with peace that he's coming. I expect him to see him in my lifetime. You see what I'm saying? But the world is full of people that say, you are crazy. You are nuts to believe that old book and stake your whole life and you say your eternity on that. Is that going to disturb our peace? No, if the Lord said it, he meant it, right? And he's coming, isn't he? All right, okay. He says, verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. They willingly want to deny the Lord and what he says, that the word of God, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word of God, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. What is it? They even deny the creation. And they deny the flood. And right, I mean, our world has been challenged since the 19th century, and the pressure that came about there in the 19th century, the 1800s there was a bunch of stuff that came out of the 1800s is just rotten, and that we continue to suffer from as mankind. Okay. One of those was the doubt that was put upon the Scripture, and that God created as he said he did create. And then the doubt that was put because of evolution on the flood, the happenings of the flood. And there were brethren, there were those in those days that they were so challenged by the lies, and even into the 20th century, they were challenged that there was pressure to what? Do this a creationist evolution thing, right? The mix thing. No, we don't need any evolution. God said the way it was.
Right.
And 6 days are just like 6 days that have just passed.
Right.
6 days then, just like 6 days now. Their peace got disturbed, didn't it? Succumbing to such. Can that happen to us? Sure. May the Lord help us that it wouldn't. But you see, our peace, what's it based on? Well, if it's not based on the Lord, it isn't going to last. It isn't going to be solid. It isn't going to be steadfast. How long ago was this earth created? Some 6,000 years or so? How can you and I imagine 6,000 years? I'm having a hard time imagining 47 next month. Right? But in the Lord, we know that the Lord did it. We believe it. He's given us his word to tell us about it. Now, they're willingly ignorant of this. And then he begins to speak here, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Then they doubt the flood. Do you doubt the flood? These other scientific evidence that has been brought forth to deny, you know, what lame brain Christians think about the flood. Does that unsettle your peace? No. If we believe the Scripture and believe the Lord, we know that the Lord destroyed this earth by water one time.
Amen.
And we see even in our day, we can see some evidence of how a worldwide flood would be so very destructive, and it even so change the topography of the earth just by regional floods that happen in our day. But scientists and men pursuing their self and pursuing the way of the world and mankind and humanism and secularism and the way of Satan and all that, they say, no, worldwide flood, that's crazy. If we listen to them, our peace will be us. But we have peace with the Lord. And so then what's that do? Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What's that do to your peace? I believe the Lord created this earth, and he's in control of her. And I believe he destroyed her by water one time. And you know what? Because he did that, he waited in those days to create, and then he did create. You know what I'm saying? And then he waited in those days to destroy, but then he did destroy. You know what he's doing now? He's waiting right now, but one day he's going to do it.
Amen.
Now, when we talk about the destruction of the earth, does that make your hands sweat? And does it make you a little bit nervous? Well, if we have peace of the Lord, we can be settled that Jesus is going to take care of it. Amen? And what we believe and what we believe the Scripture says, He's going to rapture us out of here, His people, before He begins to work and judge this earth. So we've got peace in Him, don't we? I can know that this Olmsted, Kentucky, and all this area, and the roads and the buildings and the trees and everything that we see, and what you all drive by going home, and what's around there, around you there where you live, all that is going to burn up one day. The awesome power of God to do so is something that should be feared and reverenced. Amen? But as His child, He's not going to do that to me. We have peace in Him, don't we? But there's those that doubt it. They doubt the creation. They doubt the flood. They doubt the coming judgment. And He says here, tough words, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition, wicked, wicked, wickedness of ungodly men. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Interesting how they take this verse out of this chapter and the things that the subject of it, and then take it and apply it to a 6,000-year creation. Isn't that interesting? That is willful ignorance, isn't it? But praise the Lord, He's shown us the truth, not because of us, but because He's been pleased to do so. What that verse 8, you know what that means? God's not in a hurry. He's not living a 100-year lifetime, is He? And got to get done what He needs to get done in His lifetime, 60, 70, 80 years like us. He's not in a hurry, is He? Day? 1,000 years? Few 1,000 years? Doesn't disturb the Lord, does it? Because He's going to do it when He gets ready. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. When He makes promises, He's going to keep them, right? He has a promise of judgment, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Speaking to the saved, that's who the book's to. The Lord has a people He's going to save. Otherwise, there'd be none saved. But He's going to save them. In spite of the wickedness of men and the wickedness of Satan and the seemingly out of control way of the world, the Lord's going to save His people. He's going to save them. It's going to be. And He's not in a lather or upset. Is not the Lord at peace with Himself? He's not, this is out of hand. What am I? The Lord's not like that, is He? Right, amen, He's not. But the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What's that do to your peace? I'm resting in the Lord. I'm not going to be hearing that. But see, someone without the Lord as Savior, they are very much alone. And this existence in this world is all that they have. And so to take that and to pull it out from under them, so to speak, what do they have? They have nothing. They have nothing. Seeing then, verse 11, that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We need to live for the Lord, don't we? A holy conversation representative of the Word of God. Even though they scoff, let us stand for what God says. Let us stand in the truth and not be ugly and mean about it and angry about it, but happy and joyful in it, and tell sinners the truth about the way things are from the Word of God. Do you realize that one of my daughters in Logan County, Kentucky, spoke with a girl her age, maybe a little bit younger, that never had heard of God creating this earth? Logan County, Kentucky. Can you believe that? That's what that girl said. She said she had never heard about God creating this earth. I tell you what, We ought to get down and cry. May the Lord help us that we sow some seed. I tell you, I've been thinking, you know, I mentioned to you about the John and the Romans. I tell you what I'm of the opinion to do right now, Romans is a great book, but I'm of the opinion that maybe we need to put the first handful of chapters of Genesis in there too. Amen? Can you believe that? Logan County, Kentucky. Here we are. And if there's one child like that, is she the only one? Garen told you she's not. Yeah. Tell me that again. Couldn't believe my ears. But yeah, it's happening. It's happening. We need to be of a holy conversation, way of life, what we think, say, and do. And godly, we need to be godly, to be a witness to this world. Verse 12, looking for and hastening, listen to this, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's a question. Let's read that again. Seeing then, it starts in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Our time is short, and we need to be willing to pray and move towards that day. Move towards a day that this earth is going to be destroyed. Well, tell you what, if we don't have peace with the Lord, we're not going to be much wanting to for the Lord to come back and get on with what He's going to do judgment-wise. Amen? Without the peace of the Lord, that's going to cause us to hedge. Right? And I know we love our children, we love our grandchildren, we desire for them to be saved. We need to pray for them, witness to them. And with the time that we have left, and pray that the Lord will be merciful and save sinners. Amen. But we need to hasten to the day. The day of destruction, well, see, it's not destruction for us, because you know what's on the other side of that day of destruction? Is that eternal day wherein dwelleth righteousness. Will there be no more sin? And where we'll be with our Savior. Nevertheless, we, according, verse 13, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. See, we won't get to the new heavens and the new earth till that day of destruction come. As the Lord says, He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Right. That's not the attitude. It's not, come on, Lord, and get them. No, He will deal with sin, and He will deal with His enemies in that day. But our desire is that the Lord would be magnified. We try to magnify Him and worship Him and extol Him now, don't we? When we meet together to worship, that's the purpose of what we do. Well, don't we want to see Him magnified and glorified and extolled even more? Manifested physically? Really be here? I mean, He is here now, but to see Him physically, you know what I'm saying? That it be His kingdom and His dominion that would come into place, and that it would be known that He rules and reigns out of Jerusalem? Amen? That's what we're called unto. Because of His promise, we look for those things. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace. Resting in the Lord. Quietness. Brother Jim, Jesus Christ is coming and He's going to destroy this earth. Yeah, I know that. And I don't want people to be destroyed. Repent of your sins and believe in the gospel. This young man that Brother Doug mentioned about last night, you know, I pray the Lord's working on him, and he had questions, and Brother Doug, I hope I wasn't too hard on him, you know, but I can't save the man, but he was taking up that position once again that we've all heard about, blaming God for the Lord. For the Lord If I understood him right, and Brother Doug can straighten it out, if I don't want to misrepresent the fella, but it seemed like two things was going on with him. He wanted to be forgiven, but he didn't want the Lord. Is that fair? He didn't want the judgment, but he didn't want the Lord. And then he took exception with it being preached that the Lord had saved and loved some that had been rescued from hell because of his salvation. And so if I understood him right, he was kind of alluding to his position was that God was unjust in that. Well, see, that's taking God and making him what you want him to be, what I want him to be. And I told him, you got to receive God on God's terms. He's the creator and we're the created. And I tell you what, we realize that and we can rest in that. And we can have peace in that, can't we? And the man listened and pray for him. We don't even know his name. Didn't get his name. Lord knows who he is. And was able to give him some tracts and encouraged him to get a Bible and told him somewhere to read. And pray the Lord will help him and touch him. He's needing peace, isn't he? He's needing peace. I'm glad he's disturbed and tore up about it. But the judgment of the Lord. I know I've been preaching a lot on judgment on Sunday mornings. I hope I'm not foundering you with that, but that's a big old subject. And you that are here and not saved, you need to know about it. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that's where you're heading. Because you don't have a rescuer. You don't have a Savior. In your present condition, you're on your own. How are we pointing to Christ? He's a peace giver, isn't he? he will save you and give you peace with God. No application process, no screening, no recommendations needed. Repent and trust in Him.